It is what's called on the church calendar as Holy Week here on WWIB. I don't want that to, you know, heighten any increased pressure on you. The bottom line is it's just what it's referred to on the church calendar, with Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Easter on Sunday on the heels of Palm Sunday. We call this the best 5 minutes of the day. I guess that puts its own pressure, Jason Cans, right there. We got to live up to that, huh?
It does. Coming in on a Monday and trying to live up to the idea that this is going to be the best 5 minutes of the whole day ahead, that definitely carries a lot of pressure.
And we never want it to mean it's downhill from here. It's just, it's a good 5 minutes. We believe in a Trinitarian God, and so we've got this relational, consecrated conversation, and hopefully, I don't know, hopefully it's encouraging to people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's true.
So your Iowa Hawkeyes fought valiantly. They beat the undefeated South Carolina Gamecocks on Friday night, but it wasn't to be against LSU in women's college hoops yesterday.
Yeah, you know, it was, I'm not someone who watches a lot of sports, but, you know, for folks who don't know, I went to the University of Iowa for my doctoral work, and so to see them playing in the national championship was exciting, so I watched the game yesterday, and, you know, it was, LSU was just on fire.
Yeah.
And I can't take that away from them. In the first half, Carson shooting 5 3-pointers when the team, you know, averages 5 3-pointers throughout the whole game through the season. I mean, they just couldn't miss yesterday. But, you know, I think I had shared with you yesterday, Caitlin Clark, I think, has really electrified women's basketball. And that's a really good thing as far as I'm concerned.
No, it's really... in terms of raising the ratings and seeing Magic Johnson saying, hey, Michael and I and another significant Larry Bird, none of us ever had a triple-double where we scored 40 or more points. So,
right.
Yeah, and she did that a couple of times, I think. So, yeah, incredible player for sure.
Yeah, breaking some records, and she's only a junior. And, you know, so that I think, yeah, it was just fun. It was fun to watch. Her play, it was honestly fun to watch the LSU team play as well. So
I am not used to you. You know, we're good friends. We keep in touch even when we're away from the radio. And yeah. But you don't text me about sports too much like you were yesterday.
I don't. Yeah, I was. And you know, so I have this weird superstition that if I watch a game, they're going to lose. And, same sort of thing yesterday. We were at halftime, and I thought it's my fault that they're losing.
Oh, no.
You know, and logically, I know that's not the case. But
right.
That does factor into my thinking.
Many Packer fans can relate. So many people would say they're not superstitious, but have all sorts of things
right,
like that.
Right.
All right. Well, you know what? We're going to take a little bit of a break from the Book of James, talking about this being Holy Week. And it just so happens that you wrote a book on John 13 through 17, which is a big deal. This time of the year, and so Notes from the Upper Room, Lessons in Loving Like Jesus, there's the book, and then there's the devotions, and it's my goal that eventually we will have read all 129 of these devotions on the air. We've done many of them, but I don't know, let's pick up with, I'm thinking, and again, they're not, you know, this is all, tell us about the Upper Room discourse here a little bit.
Yes, so the Upper Room discourse, John 13 to 17, is the longest recorded conversation that Jesus had with his disciples. I think for me, it shows a real deep intimacy between Jesus and the disciples. You know, it's a conversation that probably took a few hours to several hours, but it accounts for, I think, about a fifth of the book of John. And so, I think it's this idea of what did Jesus want his disciples to know right before he went to the cross. And so I think for those of us who are interested in kind of this relational theology, this is a really good place for us to be looking.
And we have read many of these 129 devotions, so do you have any particular place you'd want to start?
Well, my bookmark is on 16:7, so we could start there.
Yeah, okay, I've been dating when we have read that one, actually. So how about 16:12? Okay. How about 16:12?
Sure, that sounds good.
All right, go for it.
All right, so it says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear to hear them now. And I wrote, in the movie Dumb and Dumber, Jim Carrey's character, Lloyd Christmas, was talking with his love interest. Although she was kind to him, she was happily married and completely disinterested in him. Forever slow to catch on, he wanted to know his chances with her, so he said, just tell me straight, give it to me. Sometimes we want Jesus to give Give us his message full force. Just tell it to me straight. Give it to me. When it seems like he's holding back, we can feel anxious or disappointed. We are uncomfortable with mystery, so we try to take control. God does not withhold information from us because he is aloof or mean-spirited, but because he's merciful. God is complete goodness. In those times when we feel like God is holding out, perhaps that is right where God needs us to be. Why? Because as Jesus told those first disciples, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Larry Crabb said that we are called to tremble and trust when God's ways make no sense.
Hmm. And so it's been a while since you wrote that. So as you share it with us this morning, what stands out to you?
You know, I'm definitely someone who likes answers, and I think many of us are. And for it's a good reminder that I'm not expected to have all of the answers, to have all of the information, and that I can lean with trust into God who knows all things.
Mm. I just underlined God is complete goodness, and that is encouraging and something to rest in and think about today. And with these devotions, you offer a closing prayer. Let me share that. Jesus, I'm often impatient and anxious. When I cannot see you working, I try to take over. Forgive my haste. Allow me to rest in your presence, your power, and your provision as I learn to tremble and trust. Good words.
Thank you. Amen.
All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks, Jason, here on WWIB from his Notes from the Upper Room devotionals and working our way through those from time to time here, as well as Letters to the Beloved. Well, today is the day that outlaw Jesse James was killed by Robert Ford for just a, get this now, $5,000 reward. That was in 1882. So many moons ago, a long, long time ago, but just $5,000. It's amazing. I was watching a documentary about Reggie Jackson over the weekend, baseball player prominent in the 70s particularly, and I mean, just it was a huge deal that he was the highest paid baseball player at $3 million a year. It's well beyond that now, folks. Yeah. All right. Other information to tell you about this morning here on WWIB. TV Guide debuted on this day in 1953. This is really interesting, too. This is the day the TV show Star Trek was canceled. The best of its only three TV seasons was 1966, when the show reached as high as, what would you think, in the ratings? It reached number 62 in the ratings in 1966, and yet it's lived on and on and on in syndication and the sequels, so kind of amazing. All right, special events. It's Bad Appreciation Week. I think I'm playing the wrong TV show theme. Windows Safety Week. It is World Irish Dancing Week. I would have thought that was around St. Patrick's Day, but what do I know? It is Explore Your Career Options Week. Yeah, why not? And Dental Hygienists, we salute you all week long. This is a day to find a rainbow, enjoy some chocolate mousse. Don't go to work unless it's fun day. Well, you may be risking something there. It's Film Score Day. Sweet potatoes have their own day. And it is World Party Day. And this is something. The number tells us how hardworking and dedicated we are in America. The number today is 42. That's the average number of annual paid vacation days that residents in the top 10 countries offer their citizens. In the U.S., the average is 10. Wow. The WIB Wake Up Show. We haven't done this for like more than a month. It's weekend recap. We were so busy in March, Caleb.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, certainly digging out from the snow on that April Fool's Day joke. Second Saturday in a row, I got to do some spring snow shoveling. But my wife had it rougher, apparently. She was with Elena over in Minnetonka, Minnesota, dance competition, as Elena's part of the Infinity Dance Studio. And lots of the team over there, and the first of three competitions they face. And Peggy tells it that, you know, the motel, and they had no idea. And she was just glad she avoided the snow traveling over there. But then it turns out 10 inches of snow. Goodness. On top of the vehicle. And underneath it was some serious ice that she's like, I broke my scraper. Other people were breaking door handles trying to get into their car. And the lot was so slippery, it was all she could to get out of there safely. Thankfully, Elena was able to catch a ride with somebody else and get there on time for a couple of dances on Saturday morning. Watch my share of hoops over the weekend, the NCAA men's. How about that game-winning shot for San Diego State getting to the final? Everybody says Connecticut's going to be really tough to beat. Well, hope for a good game there. I caught just the highlights of the Caitlin Clark Iowa upset win over South Carolina from Friday, watching with interest yesterday, but LSU was too much to handle in that one. So enjoying the warming trend with the weather over the weekend.
Absolutely, yeah. I did my snow blowing. I thought maybe I could get away with leaving the driveway as it is. Maybe I could have, but thought I'll pull the snowblower out one more time, and then certainly enjoyed seeing how quickly it melted. Watched plenty of basketball over the weekend as well, too. Again, it's the college basketball season is one of my favorites, and it's winding down here. And you know what? It was a kind of a quiet weekend because we had a couple sick children, and so became just mostly a home weekend other than running out for some errands, too. So just enjoyed some extra time with the kids, and then kind of capped off yesterday as Nora had become fixated on making macarons, and not just macarons, but strawberry macarons with little hearts on them, as she told me no less than 36 times.
Wow.
And that really isn't an exaggeration. And so Mama made macarons with the kids. So Cooper made lemon macarons, and Nora made strawberry macarons, and Lily made kind of some cinnamon macarons, and they were kind enough, even though I didn't help, to let me try some of each, and they were absolutely sumptuous. So I don't know, Joseph's Cheesecake in Chippewa Falls, if you need some apprentice bakers. I guess Mama kind of did it all, not the kids, for the most part. They were assistants, too, so assistants to the baker. But they were excellent.
Fun in the kitchen. The Whip Wake Up Show, it's one of the more challenging segments of the week. It truly is. Caleb and I would tell you, we have to bring you 6 fresh jokes every week, right?
Yeah. I mean, and again, we believe in recycling and from time to time.
I did last week. I did. It was such a busy time. All right, here we go. The first of my 3. You know, Caleb, my wife has banned me from making any more breakfast puns. Yeah, she says if I make any more, I'm toast. But my kids keep egging me on.
That was a double punchline joke. Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, my doctor says that I'm getting fat.
Mm.
But in my defense, I've had a lot on my plate recently.
I like it. All right. Hey, Caleb, what do a tick and the Eiffel Tower have in common?
I'm not sure.
They're both parasites.
Well, Havel, I don't know if you knew this about me. Little fun fact, I can cut a piece of wood in half just by looking at it.
Wow.
It's true. I saw it with my own eyes.
Nice. All right. Nice. Very good. Well, I've got 2 I'm debating. I'm going to go with this one. Why do comedians love eggs?
Not sure.
They're easy to crack up.
Hey, and my last one here on a Make Us Laugh Monday on the Whip Wake Up Show. A weasel walks into a restaurant. The bartender says, "Wow, I've never served a weasel before. What can I get you to drink?" And the weasel says, "Pop," goes the weasel. I screwed that one up.
All right. WWIB, a brand new month arrived over the weekend. Interesting, Caleb, with April Fool's Day and the snow. Were we having a kind of a April Fool's joke played on us with the weather? I don't know. But we have a few things we'd like to tell you about, commemorations, special events for the month. And let's share. Not that many for April. Kind of surprising.
So yeah. I'll give an extra shout out, even though he's probably at work already. But it was my big brother's birthday yesterday. Oh, so that's something we celebrate in April. So, yeah, I'm 2nd of 9. So my one older sibling turned 37 yesterday. So happy birthday, Stevie.
The lone Swenson is a little older than you are, the kids. All right. April is also National Car Care Month.
April is National Kite Month. And I'm going to think of that song from Mary Poppins the rest of the day.
It is National Poetry Month.
It is National Fresh Celery Month. So get rid of that wilted stuff. Get you some fresh celery.
Boy, give me some peanut butter on it, please, and maybe some raisins. Meanwhile, it is National Pecan Month.
And the thing is, all month long, you can debate how to say it. So I say pecan. I believe you say pecan. But there's pecan, pecan, pecan. I don't know.
There you go.
A lot of different ways. It's National Soft Pretzel Month.
Delicious.
My sister makes some amazing soft pretzels.
National Soy Foods Month.
It is National, not Tomato Month, but National Florida Tomato Month.
Well, excuse me. It is National Garlic Month.
I think going with those tomatoes, how about some tomato soup? Because it's National Grilled Cheese Month as well.
That sounds outstanding. And speaking of birthdays, you started, let me end. A lot of family birthdays in April. My father-in-law on the 6th. See if I remember them all. My niece, April, on the 21st. My sister, Julie, on the 5th. And my other sister, Jenny, on April 28th. So we got 4.
Wow, very busy month in your family for birthdays.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if something sells at the box office, at the theater, people are like, let's do another one, right?
Let's make more.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I guess Rotten Tomatoes released a list of the best 4th movies in a series. Now, this is in our opinion. And I guess this is kind of born out of the fact that the John Wick Chapter 4 was doing really well at the box office. So they said, what if we go with this? So
normally you think of movies in trilogies, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then they go ahead and say, well, let's expand it again. And maybe it's making a second trilogy, or maybe it's just, again, making a fourth. And again, if you are in the market for the Fast and Furious movies, I think they've made 10 of them now. Yeah. So
that's crazy. All right. Anyhow, that list will go from 10 to 1. Number 10, they say the best fourth movie was Rambo.
Okay. 2008 version. One from 1965 called Thunderball. I have no idea what that is. Well, before my time.
Number 8 they had was the Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, 2005.
Again, these are best fourth movies according to Rotten Tomatoes. I have seen this one, did enjoy it. Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol with Tom Cruise. It was good.
More success for Tom Cruise at the box office. Rocky IV, the sixth best number four movie. Is that where he fights the Russian?
I don't remember.
I think so.
I don't know that I've ever seen a Rocky movie all the way through.
Wow, okay.
I know the music.
I have.
Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home from 1986, again in this list of best fourth movies in a series from Rotten Tomatoes.
Fascinating Star Trek fact I shared earlier on the show, just real quick. This show only had a 3-year run. The last episode, I think, was today.
Really?
And their best year in ratings was 1966 when, guess what, they ranked 62nd.
That's all?
How did it have that run in syndication for so long?
I love the old school Star Trek.
I know, it's crazy. All right, so that was number 5, right? Number 4, the Live Free or Die Hard from 2007, fourth best number 4 movie.
Again, according to Rotten Tomatoes, best fourth movies, Mad Max Fury Road 2015. I think that's like a car crashing movie.
All right, the John Wick one, which I think sparked this whole discussion, is listed as the second best fourth movie of all time.
And then their best fourth movie of all time from 2019, Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of feelings and thoughts on that we don't need to get into.
Okay.
But it's just...
You love the Toy Story franchise.
I do, but they had it end perfectly with Toy Story 3. Now I hear they're making another one, which just seems like a shameless money grab.
Yeah.
Toy Story 4 was okay, but it ended so perfectly with 3. They didn't need to, other than greed.
Yeah.
It was okay. I'm very passionate about Toy Story movies.